Starting this Thursday, you're going to want to go to St. Vinny's Dig and Save store on Park Street, where you can get a winter coat for a dollar. More than 10,000 donated coats will be ready for this event in sizes from infants to adults in many styles, colors, and weights. The event is open to anyone, but offers are a valuable opportunity for local people struggling to make ends meet. Please spread the word. Dig and Save, a great, great place on Park Street in Madison.
Welcome to another podcast at SlysOffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers and great local sponsors like S&R Remodeling, also our friends at St. Vincent de Paul and Madison Computer Works. Joining us now from One Wisconsin Now, it is Scott Ross, who just celebrated his 10th anniversary as executive director. Congratulations, Scott.
Well, thank you, Sly. I appreciate it.
How did that all come together? How did One Wisconsin Now start? And explain to people that don't know what it is. What is it?
Sure. I would say One Wisconsin Now is the official public relations and research outfit of the resistance. But we were doing that before the resistance was cool, Sly. Here's how we started. So I used to live on the Das Kronenberg, which is an old shoe factory in down the hill from the state capitol. And 20 years ago, I was up on the roof there.
Oh, yeah, you were on the roof, okay.
I was on the roof with my friend Mike and another friend of mine.
Up to no good?
We were up to no good, and it was late in the evening, and I happened to be able to see from my roof, you could see WMC.
Oh, sure.
And we started talking about how much WMC seemed to get into the media. And then we started talking about groups like Wisconsin Policy Research Institute and the Taxpayers Alliance. And we were like, golly, where is a liberal group that does liberal things and gets into the media offering a liberal perspective on so many of these important economic issues? And then we all passed out. And about, well, I don't know.
You know, this kind of sounds like Jim Morrison and Ray Manzarek getting together on the beach and starting the Doors.
I think if Mike heard you refer to him as the Ray Manzarek of One Wisconsin Now, he would quietly finger his keyboard.
Well, you can tell him that.
Okay. But I would say this, like, so I did some campaigns here. I worked for, I worked for
Kathleen. You know that means I'm inferring you're Jim Morrison, right?
Yeah, right. I worked on a couple statewide campaigns, Kathleen Falk's campaign for governor when she ran the first time, then helped get Peg Lautenschlager elected, the first woman attorney general.
You and I are two of the few that's friends with both of them.
Right? Exactly. And my mom went to her grave being the only person on the planet who knows who I voted for in that 2006 primary.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But anyhow, I went out, I did that for a while, and then I went out to D.C. and worked for a little while, and I ended up working for a big George Soros operation that was organized to try and change George Bush's occupancy in the White House. And that didn't work out, and I came back here, and Mike and I put a plan together. Here is what we think this organization should be. Lots of organizations do things like knock on doors. Other organizations lobby. Some organizations even spend money to put things on television and the radio and in people's mailboxes. What we wanted to be was an organization that, 729 of the 730 days in a two-year cycle, we were doing research and communications and earned media and getting the press to write things that we wanted to see in there and watchdogging the press. And if, for instance, your article has seven white men in it, we might call and say, hey, do you not have a woman in your Rolodex? Do you not have a person of color in your Rolodex? And, that's what I've been doing the last 10 years, and I am fortunate. I have what is the greatest job and the worst job.
This is, by the way, before Mitt Romney had binders full of women.
Exactly. It absolutely was. So we just had my 10-year anniversary was not too long ago. We had the office decided the best way to celebrate and commemorate my 10 years of service to the people of Wisconsin was to have people make fun of me in front of a room full of my peers. So that is what they did.
You were channeling Joan Rivers, weren't you?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. And I'm guessing that was that a fundraiser?
It was indeed to help One Wisconsin Now continue to do the work we do.
And One Wisconsin. So what's the difference between One Wisconsin Now and One Wisconsin Institute?
Well, One Wisconsin Now is a 501c4 advocacy organization. So our primary purpose is to advocate on behalf of policies, ideas, and values we care about. One Wisconsin Institute is our research and education wing, which is we don't tell you how to think. We lead you to, think, we lead you in a path that might have you support what we think and it might have you not support. And One Wisconsin Institute, for instance, is the organization that started the whole student loan movement here in the United States. That was research that we did out of One Wisconsin Institute to find out about the impact of student loan debt on the economy here in the state of Wisconsin, subsequently the United States. And a lot of our findings from that are still, echoed by media all over the country and experts and certainly people who want student loan reform. The other thing is we do voter rights out of the Institute. Our lawsuit, One Wisconsin Institute versus Thompson, where we undid a bunch of the voter restrictions enacted by Governor Walker and the Republicans over the first 5 years of his administration. That is a case that we won. The majority of stuff in our case, it is on appeal. The state has appealed it. We appealed what we didn't get. And that is currently before a three-judge panel. It's three Republicans, including the former Mrs. Sykes. So that's a little bit, we'll see how that goes. We'll see how that goes.
The former Mrs. Sykes, who probably wasn't all that impressed with that fireworks show over Lake Michigan, huh?
I would say probably not.
Hey, ain't that something? How about that Charlie Sykes posing for holy pictures on TV? Doesn't that get you every time you turn on the TV?
It is, to the point of, I want to not be distracted, this is a guy who was so toxic, who was so a part of the, divisive, racist, right-wing noise machine out of southeastern Wisconsin that's caused so much damage, not just politically, but it's caused damage in communities.
Oh,
and he has never been inculpated.
They literally killed the North Ridge Mall.
Yes, exactly. Absolutely. I mean, there's the thing where, in 2011, during the Joanne Kloppenburg, David Prosser, there were emails from the John Doe that showed all of these right-wingers, right-wing organizations, right-wing lobbyists, Robin Voss and elected officials saying, this election is close. We need to get, talk radio out there saying that there's voter fraud. And then the next day Charlie Sykes did it. We have that documented. And he has not apologized for any of that stuff.
He hasn't apologized for what he did to Lena Taylor.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And so all those things, and the thing is that okay, great, he thinks Trump is a clown. Yeah, join the majority of America. It doesn't mean, I think what it is Sly, it's again that thing where there is a conservative media bias which exists. They say that there's a liberal media bias because the majority, when they did a poll at one point, the majority of members of the media support abortion rights and they support gay people. That means they're liberal. Garbage. The media is more conservative economically than the rest of the American people, and they are more socially liberal than the rest of the American people.
When not one network mentions Labor Day on Labor Day weekend, what does that tell you?
Absolutely. Every single newspaper has a business section. Do they have a labor section?
They used to.
Why don't they have a business and labor section?
They used to.
Right? And that's just bad business. Because, if you had a section that was business and labor, you might have people from, might have working people who want to read those articles.
All right. So why don't we transition into one of the many things that are on your plate right now, and that is this tax bill the Republicans are going to try to cram down our throat, to use one of their terms. And student loan, the thing is replete with making rich people richer. But what about deduction for student loan borrowers?
Oh, my gosh. So they're going to get rid of the one thing that student loan borrowers, the one thing, the one potential, not tonic isn't the right word, analgesic, topical analgesic, that you have this ginormous huge pain, but here's something that'll make it feel just a little tiny bit better, and that's how you get to deduct some of the cost of the interest payments from your student loan payments. And they want to get rid of that. So basically 43 million people, including around a million here in the state of Wisconsin, have student loan debt. So that is the number of people who stand to be screwed by this particular thing. This is just, it is so awful. And, I know that they didn't plan it this way, but all the chaos that they have created, they've put so much effort in making all of us have to mobilize on so many different things and how many different directions, and every day it's with Trump's tweets and such. And well, now
I have a saying about that, and it isn't my, I'm not the original one who said this, but well, we're dreaming, they're scheming.
Yeah, for sure. And our side needs to be a lot tougher, and our elected officials need to be a lot tougher, and they need to be a lot more aggressive.
Glenn Grothman has been posing, Congressman Glenn Grothman has been posing for holy pictures and showing up in the most liberal part of his district, if there is such a thing, Columbia County, and saying that he thinks the government is getting rich off these college students. Does that mean he's going to vote against this budget or vote against this tax bill?
I would say absolutely not. Absolutely not. No, he's definitely, I'm sure he's a yes vote. But it's going to be all-out war. I mean, here's the one thing, Sly. The one thing we have is that the one good thing that we have is that there are going to be so many lobbyists who are going to be fighting against this because their oxes are getting gored. Their oxen are getting gored. Right? And so there's going to be
You're talking about
that.
This specific provision?
Yeah. I mean, just in general. No, not this one provision. But in general, like, they're getting rid of a bunch of exemptions and all that sorts of things. And I think, right, the home builders already came out against it. And maybe that's in part because of the student debt stuff, too. But, I think...
The home builders? Those aren't Bernie bros.
No, they are definitely not.
So, could this... Just killing this deduction... Could this be one of those things that literally pushes some people into not going into college?
I mean, I don't know about that. I think what the problem is, Sly, is that because this is a budget buster, that they're going to have to make dramatic and drastic and horrid cuts to things. And one of the things they're going to cut is financial assistance to people who want to go to college, particularly poor people.
And essentially, they're doing this so... The widow Hendricks can take her money and pass it on to her children without them paying any taxes.
Absolutely. There are three important things to remember with what this ginormous tax giveaway for the rich is going to do. One, it is going to cut taxes on Donald Trump's businesses. Two, it is going to cut Donald Trump's alternative minimum tax payment. And three, it is going to cut the money that Trump's heirs would have to pay when they get his money. I mean, it's insane.
Even that daughter
insane.
With Marla Maples?
Absolutely.
Oh, God. So you don't think he's being self-serving here, do you?
I think he absolutely is. I mean, and we should expect this. This is the way this guy has operated the entire time that we have known who he is. I mean, it's madness.
And even before.
Yep.
Right. All right. So I want to ask you about something else.
Yes.
You have filed a lawsuit against some state legislators. Explain that.
Yes. So, we found out that we were blocked on Twitter by a number of legislators. Speaker Voss, Representative Jesse Kramer, and Chairman of the Joint Finance Committee, John Nygren. And so we looked at the law. We consulted with counsel. And we filed a lawsuit this week, excuse me, Sly, in federal court. And the reason we filed it is because these public officials have created a public forum using public resources to discuss public policy, and it should be open to all members of the public, period, end of sentence. And blocking us on Twitter is denying us access to that. They didn't have to create a public forum using, for their official government work, but they did, and that means they cannot deny people.
Now, are they going to make the argument that they send the same information out in other forums?
I don't think that it is an impossibility for them to make that case because they don't send out their tweets. There might be something, some piece of information in the tweet that they send out, but they are not sending out their feet. And the bottom line is the First Amendment says government cannot abridge speech. And abridging our access to this information is abridging our speech. They are violating that with this action. And they need to learn that free speech isn't just for people or organizations with whom they agree.
So is this one of those things where you have to go to a First Amendment lawyer?
Yes, we have noted First Amendment lawyer Krista Westerberg is representing us from Pines Bach.
Okay.
We've worked with her before, actually.
I always use James Friedman from Godfrey and Con. I know this is going to come as a shock to you, but people have threatened to sue me for the things I say.
What? You, Sly? for telling too much of the truth.
Patience Rogensack wanted to sue me because I said she was a liar and that she was a Republican.
Uh-oh.
I won.
Nice.
She didn't file the suit. We kind of pointed out that she was a Republican.
Very nice.
And I think she's demonstrated that quite clearly.
Very clearly. Yeah, no, we've worked with Krista before. Back during the recalls, we had tried to get open records from Alberta Darling, and she refused, and so we ended up having to sue. Unfortunately, taxpayers had to pay our legal fees because Alberta Darling didn't want to file the open records laws.
This
have a really good...
This is kind of like the Center for Media and Democracy with Leah Vukmer.
Yes, exactly, exactly. So we, we've had good success in the lawsuits. We don't file lawsuits all the time, that is for sure, but we have had, I believe, an unblemished record, knock on wood, to this point in the lawsuits that we filed.
Well, speaking of blemished record, coming up next, we'll talk about a certain Supreme Court candidate's record. Scott Ross, One Wisconsin Now, here at SliceOffice.com.
Jeff's Guitar Clinic is a multifaceted shop offering guitars, amplifiers, and all accessories, guitar lessons for all ages, and instrument repair of the highest quality. Take the scenic drive to beautiful Fort Atkinson and see what total customer satisfaction is all about. Call Jeff's Guitar Clinic today at 920-723-1733. That's Jeff's Guitar Clinic at 920-723-1733. Jeffsguitar.com.
We're back at SliceOffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers. Great local sponsors in the labor community like Madison Firefighters, Local 311, Madison Teamsters, Local 695, and Madison Teachers Incorporated. Scott Ross, Executive Director, One Wisconsin Now, who I need to send a check to for his fundraiser.
Yay.
All right, so let me, I'm sorry I couldn't be there for that. I think I actually might have been able to help with that roast. if you'll remember, I supported you in your candidacy for Secretary of State.
You did. You did, and that was the one disappointing thing. I thought they would get Doug LaFollette up there to tell me to go F myself, but apparently he was a little too busy doing his job.
Okay. So, the poor guy's got to climb out of, like, four stories down in the basement of the Capitol now. They buried him so deep.
Yeah, absolutely, and I mean, Matt Adamczyk, I bet he's in there stealing Doug's lunch from the little mini fridge they share every day.
Boy, that is just tragic. Some of those Republican office holders that hate government.
Go ahead. Oh, no, for sure.
So I want to ask you about the Supreme Court candidate, Michael Skrenik. Is it pronounced Skrenik?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So tell me about this fella. He's a Sauk County judge.
Yeah. He is cut right out of the cloth of your Scott Walker Supreme Court justices, right? We had first Rebecca Bradley, who Walker appointed to the court, who was a flaming homophobe extremist. We then had Daniel Kelly, who is, let's just say we consider him to be racially insensitive in some of the things that he has written proudly. And then now we've got this, guy who's willing to get arrested to prevent women from being able to access their, constitutionally protected health options. And that's...
So he was arrested twice, is that correct?
Yep. Yeah, he was arrested twice for blocking clinics, basically, with some of the nut jobs, and they were all affiliated with Operation Rescue, if you remember them. Which was an insane militant and sometimes illegal.
Well, they certainly, Operation Rescue certainly helped whip up a couple people, assassinate doctors.
They are just a despicable organization. They have been, Randall Terry. Wasn't Randall Terry charged with like some sort of RICO or something? Because it was, yeah. I don't remember all of it.
I've had Randall Terry on my show. He's something.
Yeah. So, it's a challenge, and the thing is that what's even worse than just that he did it, right? Because he and I are literally the same age, and I remember back then when he was arrested, the climate, because this was back during some of the more toxic Supreme Court cases that started to allow states to really put restrictions on the right to choose. And that he was there with the, you know, these folks blocking protesters and then refusing to cooperate with law enforcement by, you know, he wouldn't give them his name. And now to pretend that he can sit in judgment of some of these laws when he was so beyond, you know, sort of the normal, like, hey, listen, I don't like abortion, or I like abortion. I think it's a constitutionally protected right, or I'm not sure that it necessarily, I don't know that I agree with Roe versus Wade. But no, this is a guy who is going, willing to go out and get arrested twice in order to deny women access to their constitutionally protected right to health
care. It's interesting. He has a very similar, and I don't know if his intellect is as low as Michael Gableman's. And Michael Gableman, by the way, I wish I could... You and I could just sit here and play tapes from the court.
I don't think we should, because that's going to ruin our days.
Well, his treatment of the other justices, especially the two good justices on the court, is so reprehensible. It's unbelievable. But Michael Gableman aside, his track record to the court is kind of similar to this guy. Governor McCallum appointed... Gableman to, I think it was Burnett County, way up in Wisconsin,
yes.
Right?
Yep.
And then, boom, he's the candidate. Same with this guy. Walker appoints this guy. He has hardly any time on the bench, and then they're fast-tracking him to run for the Supreme Court. Don't we have to watch if Gableman steps down that the governor just makes another appointment?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And here's the thing, too, about Skrenik, is that Skrenik was, like, you know, involved in the Act 10 stuff. In defending Walker's Act 10.
In the State Department of Justice.
Right? He was, I'm sorry?
He worked in the State Department of Justice, right? Was that his position when he was defending Act 10?
I have to look. I know that he was in private practice for either redistricting or Act 10. I can't remember if it was both or if at one he was at... No, I don't think he was at the Department of Justice.
Okay. I thought that's what he was doing when he was defending
Act 10. Yeah, no, it was always when he was with, you know, the Republican law firm Michael Best.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Gableman's law firm, right? Remember how he got that free... when we filed the OR, the Office of Lawyer Regulation complaint against Gableman, he had Michael Best Friedrich representing him for free.
Oh!
Nothing to see here. Because, you know, the big, huge law firm, Michael Best Friedrich, never has cases before the state Supreme Court.
The recusal thing is really probably one of the most important aspects of the Supreme Court race.
No, exactly. One of the things that we're trying to raise with the Skrenik thing isn't just, I mean, he's got the extremism, right? He got arrested twice trying to keep women from being able to access health care. But in his report, like, we have his application, right, to get his judgeship. And in it, like, he doesn't really come out and say this is what has happened, you know? On his application, Skrenik checked no when asked if he'd ever been cited or convicted. And then later in the application, he noted he had been cited during protests in a short summary of the incident. But when that thing, like, yes, no, he checked no, and he should have checked yes.
Kind of like a Jared Kushner problem.
Kind of like a Jared Kushner problem, exactly. Exactly. So, I mean, well, I would say no, because I don't think that, you know, Michael Skrenik, and, you know, let us continue our research, but I do not believe Michael Skrenik committed treason.
So far.
But, you know, it is, you know, we are just approaching the weekend.
Let me ask you about your travels. You've been on the speaking circuit lately. Why?
Well, I want to make sure that, like, folks know what we're doing, what resources are available to them if they want to work with us, what they can do to maximize their voice. And two, you know, you may be surprised by this, but I kind of like standing in front of a room and having people pay attention to me, Sly. So I've been, you know, yeah, we've been traveling all around. What's that?
I've been accused of that.
Right? Yeah. And so, I've been traveling around talking to people about the three things that I think they can do to help maximize their success over the next couple years in terms of how do they change the public policy environment so it's more reflective of progressive values, ideas, and policies.
And those three things are?
One, recruit the best candidates, and some of those candidates are going to be in the room in which I speak. Two, demand the most of your incumbent Democrats. And three, use your own voice, and here are the ways you can use your voice.
Well, you remembered all three things much better than our energy secretary a number of years ago.
Yes, that's true. I also don't have a guest home, let's just say that.
Let me ask you about something else that you put out about whoever runs for the Democratic nomination for governor, and I assume you mean this for lieutenant governor as well, that they should promise to support the nominee.
Yes, I think so. I think because the Democrats have such a big, huge, and again, this is not in my capacity as One Wisconsin Now. Like, we don't, you know, I don't tell people, One Wisconsin Now never has told people how to vote. We could under Citizens United. I don't care. It's my job to remind people that they're thirsty. Somebody else can tell them to get a drink, right? But I do believe as a Democrat in my life outside of One Wisconsin Now that in a big, robust primary, there are going to be people who are going to feel bad about the results. There are going to be a lot of people who feel bad about the results, especially if there's six or seven people on the ballot on Election Day. I don't know that that'll happen or not. But what I do know is everybody who is running to be the Democratic nominee for the Democratic Party of Wisconsin to go against Scott Walker, the most gifted politician the Republicans have irked out in the last 25 years, needs to answer one simple question. Will you support the Democratic nominee and campaign for the Democratic nominee, whoever that Democratic nominee is? And I think that that is a fair question for all the candidates to be asked. And I think it's a question that if they don't answer yes, I think it's a question that they all should answer yes. And my hope is that they all will answer yes, because I think that we need unity against Scott Walker, that's for sure, because our primary isn't until August.
Something tells me there's a reason you're concerned about that.
Well, just because, I've been through, here's the thing, Sly. I worked on the last two robust primaries for governor, right? There was the thing with the recall, which was kind of an anomaly. We've never had an election in June. But I worked on the last multi-candidate gubernatorial primary. That was in 2002. And it was Kathleen Falk, who I worked for, Tom Barrett, the mayor of Milwaukee, and Jim Doyle, the attorney general.
You worked with my friend Tom Russell on that campaign.
Exactly, right? Yes. Yeah, Tom and I actually went to grad school together, eons ago. But we...
Scott, he's a little calmer than you are.
Well, whatever.
See, I'm filling in for what I would have said at the roast.
Yeah. So, everybody fought hard in that primary. I sure did. I know my friends on the other campaigns did. And everybody fought fair. And the day after the primary election, where Jim Doyle won, all the campaigns got together and did a unity event, because the most important thing was that we, after 16 years, could have the governor's office again, and everybody needed to come together to make sure that would happen. Oh. And we all did our job. We did our job till the primary, and then we did our job after the primary. And I was a bad boy that year. What's that?
I said I was a bad boy that year.
Why would you do?
You don't remember? So I supported Falk in the primary. I supported Ed Thompson in the general election. I actually had a fundraiser for Ed Thompson at my house.
Oh, that's right. There you go. There you go. But yeah, so when you have a lot of people who are in this primary. Some people obviously are, more higher tier candidates than other candidates, and that's, that is what it is. But again, Scott Walker, this is literally the most important state election in our lifetime. It is not a cliche. If Scott Walker wins this election, they're going to round up Democrats and put us in camps or something.
That's going to make the press.
they are so ruthless.
They are
ruthless. And in enacting Scott Walker's doctrine, we know what that doctrine is. One, reward your donors. Two, punish your enemies. And three, move yourself up the political food chain. And we have a wonderful opportunity because Scott Walker represents the first person other than Tommy Thompson to even try to get a third term. And we have to beat him. He has to be beaten because he is a foul stain on our body politic. And what he is doing to people is unconscionable. I believe it is illegal. I am so tired of his assault on poor people because it tests well with the Republican base. I waited in line for food when I was a kid and my old man lost his steel worker job. And like everybody else in our neighborhood was doing the same damn thing. And Scott Walker hasn't worked a goddamn day in his life.
Let me ask you about, hey, he was an important cog at the Red Cross, buddy. Let me ask you one final question as far as refereeing the Democratic primary on who's going over the line and what's inbounds and what's out of bounds. Can you give me any kind of distinction?
No, listen, I've worked in the state for 20 years. They play tiddlywinks here, you know? I've been through things, and I've been through clean campaign pledges, and then I have to hear two of the other campaign, this person violated the clean campaign pledge, and their campaign's over. You know, listen, primaries are family fights. They're rough stuff. But I haven't really seen anybody participate in something that I would think is a violation of our basic values. You know, it's okay to throw some elbows. Listen, Lord knows, Sly, as you know, I was not put on this earth to criticize. But once in a while, you have to make the distinction between you and your opponents. You know, and sometimes those, you know, sometimes, you know, here's the thing. I've not been in primaries, but I've been in an observer of primaries where people feel that someone goes over the line. And I always say, like, well, let's look at the population that's going to be voting on that. If that argument is garbage, it will be rejected.
And clearly, in 1992, Wisconsin Democratic primary voters thought that two of the candidates went way over the line.
Yeah, exactly. And they, yes, that is a great point. The voters provide that check.
It is going to be fun to watch. Scott Ross, One Wisconsin Now. Hang on the line a second. Thanks for coming to SliesOffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers.
SliesOffice.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.
Making stuff matters, because when we make things in America, America makes it. American workers and families make it. Our communities make it. Consider this. For every one manufacturing job in our communities, 5 more jobs are supported. Manufacturing jobs pay an average of 10 to 50% more than service sector jobs. That allows working families to support their local businesses, schools, emergency services, and more. Creating 2.5 million new manufacturing jobs would mean at least $100 billion for our economy over the next decade. Domestic manufacturing is the green economy. It's among the cleanest, most efficient, and productive in the world. That's why the United Steelworkers and our more than 1 million members and retirees are fighting so hard to protect and grow manufacturing. Because making stuff really does matter. Join our fight. Visit usw.org and like us at facebook.com/steelworkers. Support American manufacturing. Buy American. Buy Union.